This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't necessarily require a new you. Sometimes it just asks for a less burdened you. For a lot of us, January brings reflection. We start noticing the things we've been carrying, pressure to have it all figured out, perfectionism, self-doubt, old fears, or patterns we keep repeating in relationships or work. And one of the hardest parts is that when you're inside your own head, it can be really difficult to see what's actually weighing you down. That's where therapy can be helpful. Having an unbiased, trained perspective can make it easier to understand your emotions, your motivations, and the dynamics in your relationships. Not to fix who you are, but to help you move forward with more clarity and less heaviness. BetterHelp connects you with fully licensed therapists in the US who follow a strict professional code of conduct. They also do the initial matching work for you. You fill out a short questionnaire about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp uses over 12 years of experience and an industry-leading match fulfillment rate to help pair you with the right therapist. And if it's not the right fit, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. With over 30,000 therapists worldwide, BetterHelp has served more than 5 million people globally, and their live sessions average a 4.9 out of 5 rating based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com. The goal isn't to hold presence. The goal is to stop punishing yourself for leaving it, right? So when you tell yourself to return, yes, you're coming back to presence, but saying it that way gives yourself grace for stepping outside of yourself in the first place. And if you want something physical, something your body can recognize, you can pair that noticing with something small, like feeling your feet on the floor or letting your shoulders drop a fraction of an inch. Taking one natural breath without changing it. Nothing dramatic and performative, just something simple. Because softness works best when it's simple and it's subtle. And so if your anxiety is loud this week, that doesn't mean you failed at this. It just means your system is asking for patience to return to yourself for a moment. You're not trying to become a calmer person. You're learning how to be kinder to the system you already have. Hello, hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And if you're listening to this and you feel tired in a way that maybe sleep doesn't really even fix, well, perhaps this episode is for you. Or if your nervous system feels a little frayed, or if you want to slow down, but every time you try, your anxiety gets louder. If being told to be present also somehow makes you feel like you're failing at something that should be simple, well, maybe this episode is for you. Because I want to talk about presence and anxiety and neutralizing our nervous system, but not in an aspirational, polished way and not the kind that feels like another self-improvement assignment. No, this is just my reality is I've been doing my best lately to work with my anxiety and neutralize it, do things that I know will help bring more ease into my life, as that has been my theme for 2026, since I have so much going on and things are always constantly changing around me, and I'm sure everyone else, because that is the one guarantee in life is change, which I'm grateful for. I'm not someone who's excited about life when things are just stagnant and the same, though I love a routine, but things are constantly changing. And so as someone who deals with anxiety, that can obviously heighten my anxiousness and also burnout. Because when you're burnt out or you're anxious or emotionally tender, presence can sometimes feel unsafe, right? Slowing down can feel like you're losing control, and softness can feel like something you haven't earned yet. So let me say this gently. Presence isn't a personality trait. It's not something you're bad at, and it's not something you need to force yourself into. Presence is something your nervous system learns to trust again, to trust slowly in small moments without pressure. And for a lot of us, especially those who've spent years being high functioning and responsible and emotionally aware, our minds learned to stay busy because it felt productive. So anxiety wasn't a flaw. It was honestly a strategy, I'd say. And burnout often isn't a sign that you did something wrong. It's truly just a sign that you've been caring too much for too long. That's how I see it. So if you've been craving a softer way to exist, well, here's a way to be here without constantly managing yourself and without fixing, without performing healing. You're not alone, okay? Today, I want to talk about presence as a gentle relationship and one that doesn't demand calm or anything and one that doesn't rush you into stillness or make you feel like you need to be a monk or one that, this is just one that lets you come back to yourself in a way that feels human and more kind to yourself and doable, manageable. It's not hustle magic and no pressure to transcend your anxiety or anything, just a softer way to be here. So one of the biggest misunderstandings about presence is the idea that anxiety disqualifies you from it. We're taught subtly or maybe even directly that being present means being calm. And so that if your mind is racing or your body feels on edge, then you must be somewhere else. You're not present here. You're not awake. You're too future focused. You're too stuck in your head. You're not doing it right. But anxiety is not the opposite of presence, okay? Disassociation isn't even always the opposite of presence. Anxiety is a sign that your system is paying attention, sometimes too much attention, sometimes scanning for danger when there really isn't any, but it's still a form of awareness, right? When it comes to feeding your baby, confidence is everything, and that's why I love Bobbie. Bobbie's organic European-style infant formulas are designed to support all feeding journeys, whether you're breastfeeding, combo feeding, exclusively formula feeding, or just keeping a backup can in the pantry. Bobbie is a brand that truly meets parents where they are. So what really stood out to me is how thoughtful Bobbie is about every detail. They only use carefully sourced ingredients backed by proven science, and every single batch goes through over 2,000 safety and quality checks before it ever leaves their U.S. manufacturing facility. That level of care makes such a difference when you're choosing what goes into your baby's bottle. Bobbie also offers a full suite of recipes and holds some of the most trusted certifications out there: USDA Organic, EU Organic, European Organic, Clean Label Project Purity Award, and Clean Label Project Certified Pesticide Free, a high quality infant formula you can genuinely feel good about. And parents aren't the only ones who love it. Bobbie has been recognized as Babylist's 2025 Top Choice Organic Formula and named 2025 Top Choice by Consumer Reports, which says so much about the trust they've built. I love that Bobbie was created by moms who couldn't find a formula that met their standards, so they made one that did. It's inclusive, intentional, and built to help parents feed with confidence no matter what their journey looks like. If you want to learn more, head to HiBobbie.com. That's HiBobbie.com, HiBobbie.com, to find the organic, clean, high-quality infant formula trusted by parents and loved by babies. January always hits me the same way. I come in with big intentions, you know, like focus more, actually finish what I start, stop feeling fried by noon. And then I realize my brain is already running 10 tabs at once before I even open my laptop. I love coffee, but too much of it makes me jittery, scattered, and honestly, more stressed than productive. And I don't have the time or energy to research supplements or build some complicated morning ritual. So that's why I've been loving Everyday Dose. It's coffee with benefits. Real coffee, but enhanced with lion's mane, collagen, and nootropics. Lion's mane helps with natural focus, while L-theanine keeps the stress at bay, so I feel clear and calm instead of wired and anxious. It's become my go-to morning boost, especially right now when I actually want to follow through on my New Year's resolutions or really my goals for the year. So it takes about 30 seconds to make, tastes smooth, and gives me the kind of steady focus I wish coffee always did. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit free Peppermint Mocha Creamer Plus and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/magic or use code MAGIC at checkout. So for many of us, especially those who grew up needing to be perceptive or responsible or emotionally attuned to others, I'd say anxiety developed as a way to stay safe, right? It learned to anticipate and to prepare and to stay alert to protect us. So when we tell ourselves that we can't be present until the anxiety goes away, what we're really saying is, I'm not allowed to be here until my nervous system behaves. And that's not softness. That's conditional acceptance. Presence doesn't require a quiet mind. It requires permission and permission to notice what's actually here without immediately trying to change it. So sometimes presence looks like saying, hey, my chest feels really tight right now, or my thoughts are looping, or I feel restless and I don't know why. That noticing is presence. You don't need to eliminate anxiety to be here. You just need to stop making it the enemy. When anxiety shows up, instead of asking, how do I get rid of this? You can ask something softer, like, what is my body asking for me right now? Maybe it's asking for more space or more reassurance, less pressure. And if the answer is, I don't know, then that's honestly okay too. But this is where presence becomes less about control and more about companionship. You stay within yourself. You stay with yourself, even when things feel uncomfortable. And even when your system hasn't settled yet, this is a very real form of being here. Burnout doesn't always come from doing too much. And sometimes it comes from never feeling like you're allowed to stop, or from always being on, right? Always managing, always holding it together, even if you're healing. For a lot of people, slowing down suddenly sounds lovely in theory, right? But in practice, it can feel deeply uncomfortable and even scary. So when you've been living in survival mode, speed can feel stabilizing, right? Busyness can feel regulating. This is what you're used to. Movement can feel like control. So when life finally offers you space, your nervous system might not interpret this as relief. It might interpret it as danger. This is why slowing down can make anxiety spike, right? Your system isn't broken. It just hasn't learned yet that stillness is safe. It's okay to be still. And so softness asks something different of us. It asks us to stop bracing, to loosen the grip, to feel what we've been outrunning. And that's not always easy or pleasant at first, right? We often think burnout means we need rest. And rest is important, but burnout also asks for permission. Permission to stop proving, permission to stop optimizing, permission to stop performing wellness as a way to feel worthy. So if you've ever tried to slow down and immediately felt guilty, or maybe restless, or you were just critiquing yourself with self-criticism. I mean, that's not failure. That's a nervous system that learned love and safety through effort. So instead of forcing softness, what if we approached it gradually? What if softness didn't mean stopping everything? What if it meant reducing pressure by 5% in our life, right? Speaking to yourself just a little more kindly, that's 5%. Or letting one thing be unfinished, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. That's 5% gentleness for yourself. Presence in burnout doesn't look like peace. It looks like honesty, and it looks like admitting that I'm tired in a way that motivation won't fix, or I need less demand, right? Not more discipline. And maybe the most radical thing we can do when we're burnt out is not to push through or reinvent ourselves, but to become someone our nervous system can trust again. Someone who doesn't rush themselves into healing, right? Someone who doesn't shame themselves for needing more time. And that kind of presence is slow and it's real.
All right, romanticy lovers, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because the epic conclusion to the viral book talk romanticy series is finally here. Dawn of Chaos and Fury by Melissa K. Rorick. And this finale absolutely delivers. I picked it up over the weekend and was completely pulled into the chaos. It moves fast and hits hard emotionally, especially as the heroine navigates her anxiety and depression and in such a real way, real and grounded way. And if you love fae and dragons, vampires, witches, shifters, and the children of gods, plus that Crescent City style blend of magic and modern technology, then this world will be your next obsession. It feels like ours with smartphones and cars, but woven with everyday wild magic. And so this is book 4 of the Legacy series. So it's not the place to start, but all 4 books are on sale now, and the full set makes an amazing gift for anyone who devours book talk romanticy favorites, deep world building, and tropes like fated mates, morally gray characters, meddling gods, and high emotional stakes. You can find Dawn of Chaos and Fury by Melissa K. Rorick wherever books are sold in print and in ebook. I want to pause here for a moment because I think this is where a lot of us get stuck, right? We confuse softness with giving up, or we worry that if we slow down too much, then we'll lose momentum, which is scary because we all know how powerful momentum is. Or we also worry that if we stop pushing, everything will fall apart. Or that if we become gentler with ourselves, then we'll somehow become less capable or less productive or motivated. But softness is not the absence of strength. It's the absence of unnecessary force. So many anxious, burnt out people are actually incredibly disciplined, right? They're incredibly perceptive and resilient. They do not need more pressure in their life. They need relief. So I'd say softness doesn't mean that you have to stop caring about your life. It just means you have to stop terrorizing yourself into showing up for it. And for some of us, that shift can be disorienting because struggle became familiar. Effort became proof of worth, and ease can feel suspicious. So if you've ever thought, hey, if I relax, I'll lose everything, well, that thought didn't come from nowhere, right? It came from a nervous system that learned safety through vigilance. So if softness feels foreign or even uncomfortable, that doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's new. You don't have to trust it all at once, right? You can try it in moments and in inches. You can let one email wait, right? You can respond to yourself more kindly when you're overwhelmed, or you can choose not to push through exhaustion just because you always have pushed through exhaustion. Softness doesn't erase ambition. It recalibrates it. It asks, what can be done without harm? And sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself is to stop demanding that you feel better before you're allowed to rest. You do not have to demand yourself to feel better if you haven't rested yet. You're not lazy for needing less stimulation for a moment. And you're not weak for craving a slower pace from time to time. You're not behind because your system has been asking you to just be gentle for a little bit before you can move forward. So that when you do move forward, it's going to be powerful because you've rested. You've allowed your battery to recharge. And presence in this context isn't about being perfectly here. It's about no longer abandoning yourself when you're tired or anxious or unsure. And that kind of presence is quiet. It's relational. It builds trust over time. So I want to share something small from my own life because this is something that I'm actively learning too. There have been seasons where I thought slowing down would honestly make me lose momentum. Like if I stopped pushing myself, then I'd somehow fall behind or just disappear. And what I've noticed lately is that a lot of my anxiety wasn't coming from what I wasn't doing, but from how hard I was being on myself while doing it. And so I've had moments where I finally give myself permission, the permission I need to slow down. And so instead of relief, I would just feel restless because I wouldn't give myself that permission to slow down or bring ease into my life. And then I'd feel guilty and almost uncomfortable in the quiet. And I used to think that that meant I was doing something wrong. And so this is my reminder now, since I'm starting to kind of feel that, as ease has been my theme for the new year, and I have to keep reiterating this to myself, that I gotta slow. And I'm starting to see it differently. I think my nervous system just wasn't used to being treated kindly without earning it first. So softness, for me,
has kind of looked unglamorous sometimes, and it looked like doing less in a day and not immediately explaining myself for it, or letting things just be imperfect. That's huge. And not rushing to fill every quiet moment with productivity or self-improvement or something spiritual. And presence hasn't shown up as peace. It's shown up as honesty. Realizing, oh, hey, I'm tired today. And I'm anxious, and that's okay. And I don't need to fix this before I'm allowed to exist. I'm learning that the more I stay with myself in these moments without judgment, the more my system actually settles on its own, and not because I forced it to, but because it finally feels safe enough to. And I'm sharing this because if you're in that in-between space where you want to soften, but don't quite know how yet, well, you're not behind. You're simply learning something new. I want to offer you something very gentle to try this week. Not a practice you need to be consistent with, and not a routine that you need to do right now or correctly. This is just an invitation to potentially try this week if you feel called. Instead of asking yourself to be present, try asking yourself to notice when you return. That's it. You might be in your head, you might be distracted, anxious, you might be doom scrolling or worrying or planning something in the future, and then suddenly you realize, oh, I'm here again. I'm going to return to this moment. You don't need to stay there. You don't need to breathe a certain way or ground yourself perfectly. Just noticing that you've come back is already presence. Oh, let me return. You can even say it quietly to yourself. I'm back. Or I'm here. I'm here. Enough. The goal isn't to hold presence. The goal is to stop punishing yourself for leaving it, right? So when you tell yourself to return, yes, you're coming back to presence. But saying it that way gives yourself grace for stepping outside of yourself in the first place. And if you want something physical, something your body can recognize, you can pair that noticing with something small, like feeling your feet on the floor or letting your shoulders drop a fraction of an inch, taking one natural breath without changing it. Nothing dramatic and performative, just something simple. Because softness works best when it's simple and it's subtle. And so if your anxiety is loud this week, that doesn't mean you failed at this. It just means your system is asking for patience to return to yourself for a moment. You're not trying to become a calmer person. You're learning how to be kinder to the system you already have. So I hope this episode gives you a small exhale and know that you're not alone in this anxiety-ridden state. I mean, our world right now is so chaotic, it's hard to not also internalize everything and just become more and more anxious all the time. That's something that I've been working with and focusing on, is my anxious state. And sometimes saying, be present, has an old weight that doesn't really help me. But saying something like, notice when you are here, you're here, I'm back, I'm here, that can be so grounding. You don't need to rush your healing. You don't need to optimize your nervous system. You don't need to turn softness into another thing to get right, right? Presence will keep finding you in the quiet, ordinary moments. And every time you notice it, even briefly, that's enough. Anyway, with all that being said, say hi to me on Substack or Instagram. I'm at Raquel Mantra, RAQUELLEMANTRA. And with all that being said, till next time. Maybe I'll do a second episode this week. If not this week, then next week for sure. But I hope that you enjoyed this simple episode. And let me know. I need some ideas on what to share for the new year. So feel free to reach out and send me some ideas on new episodes. Anyway, with all that being said, I'm sending you all my love. Thank you for listening. And thank you for your magic.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.